somewhere in Europe, there is a church where a small miracle once took place. It was 2 days before Christmas, and a tiny little congregation was using hammers, paint, and faith to try to have their church looking good in time for Christmas. The trouble was, the church had once been a very grand church, but recent years had been quite difficult. Repairs and upkeep had been neglected, and the congregation had dwindled down considerably. The pastor was young and hopeful, but in late December, a severe storm came whipping through their river valley, and a large chunk of rain-soaked plaster fell off of the inside wall in the sanctuary, just above and behind the altar, leaving a gaping hole. The pastor cleaned up the mess, determinedly saying to himself, "God's will be done," but others in the congregation shed tears. That very same afternoon, the pastor attended a benefit auction, which was attempting to raise some money for a youth program in the city. Among the items being auctioned off was a large ivory-colored lace tablecloth embroidered with golden threads. It seemed to be a relic from a bygone era. It was 15 feet long, clearly meant for a magnificent table. Who could use such a thing now? The bidding was half-hearted, and then the pastor had an idea. For the equivalent of $6.50, he bought the tablecloth and took it directly back to the church. There he mounted the tablecloth on the wall behind the altar, and it was large enough to completely cover that hole. He felt triumphant, especially as the extraordinary beauty of the handwork cast a shimmering glow around the sanctuary. He was confident that now the church would be a lovely place for the Christmas services. Just before noon on Christmas Eve, the pastor looked up from his studies and noticed that someone was outside waiting by the bus stop in some very cold weather. And so he went out and invited this woman in. "The bus doesn't come for another 40 minutes," he said. "Come inside and get warm." She had been into town for a job interview and had been rejected. She came into the church, sat down in one of the pews, and began rubbing her icy hands together. Then she looked up and saw that cloth on the wall behind the altar. "That's my banquet cloth," she exclaimed, and moved forward to hold its corner between her fingertips. "Look," she showed the pastor, "here are my initials, monogrammed in the corner. This cloth was made especially for me. It was a gift from my husband. There cannot be another like it." She stood lost in thought, and then she explained her story. She and her husband had been residents of Vienna, but when they realized that their opposition to Hitler and the Nazis was endangering them, they made plans to leave the country. Her husband had insisted that she be the one to leave first, and had arranged for her to take a train to Switzerland. He would then meet her there as soon as he was able to get away. She had not seen him since. The war was over now, and she had heard that he had died in one of the concentration camps. "I never should have left him," she said. "Perhaps all these years of wondering what happened have been my punishment." Of course, the pastor tried to get her to take the cloth, but she refused. The bus came, and she went on her way. That night, the Christmas Eve services were held, and indeed, the people were enchanted by the way the candlelight reflected on that beautiful gold and ivory cloth. It made for a wonderful hour of worship. As the pastor stood at the door, wishing the departing members of the congregation Merry Christmas, the local neighborhood clock and watch repairman stopped to make a comment. "It's so strange," he said in his soft accent. "That cloth looks just like the one my wife and I used to have in our home in Vienna. She saved that golden ivory cloth for the most special occasions. For instance, when the bishop came to visit. The pastor's heart leapt up in his throat. And quickly he told the jeweler about the woman who had visited the church earlier in the day. "Can it be?" asked the stunned man. "Does she live?" The pastor fortunately remembered the place where the woman had gone for that unsuccessful interview. They immediately made contact and were able to obtain an address. They drove through the night, and as Christmas Day was born, the long-separated couple was at last reunited. It's a true story that makes the perfect Christmas tale, because Christmas is the time for remembering that God is still at work in the world. Christmas is the time for celebrating and renewing our trust in God's promises to redeem and restore. Christmas is the time that we discover again that God can and will bring good out of bad. God can and will bring us back to ourselves, to each other, and to God. If ever we can feel a spark of faith, it is during this time when Mary and Joseph slowly make their way to Bethlehem and against all likelihood cling to one another and are cared for and protected. If ever we can believe in miracles, it is now when Christ is born into the world. If ever we can hold fast to hope, it's at the sight of the heavens opening and the earth moving to bless and welcome a tiny child. The scripture readings for this time of year are all about God's promises for renewal, restoration, recovery, and reunion. They're directed to people who have been oppressed and condemned. They are spoken to people who have become alienated from God. The scriptures promise reconciliation. They promise that God will act on behalf of those who suffer. The prophet Isaiah is one example. In Isaiah 61, encouragement is offered to people who have been through agonizing experiences. They've been on the losing end of a war. They were forced to leave their homes with only what they could carry. They had become unwelcome refugees in a strange land. These people had lost loved ones. They had endured years of injustice, hardship, and hard labor. They had not been free to come and go as they pleased. Daily survival required their unceasing effort and immense difficulty. Now, here is the prophet Isaiah with the audacity to announce that God is going to return them to their homes and that they will have the opportunity to rebuild their country. This is Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. God has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations." The promises are astonishing. The ruined shall be repaired. The formerly devastated shall be raised up. I can see a reaction along the lines of the husband who had thought that he would never see his beloved wife again. Can it be? Will we yet live to know such joy? In fact, the response is included in verses 10 and 11 of the same chapter. "One who has heard these promises says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The promises are astonishing, and the hope that they will come true leads the listeners to imagine a day of great rejoicing. And now here we are today in the privileged position of knowing that those promises actually did come true. The exiles were allowed to return home. With God's help, they did rebuild their land. And in their gratitude, they made a renewed commitment to follow God's ways. They had learned that faith in God sustained them in both good times and bad times, and they promised not to turn away from God in the future. Advent, this time of preparation for Christmas, is the time to remember the history of how God has always been present to God's people, always been working toward reconciliation, always trying to create and sustain an earthly community of love and faith. This is the time to remember what the Holy Scripture says in so many ways and so many places. The one who calls you is faithful. God is able to accomplish what God has said. That particular form of the affirmation comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. God is able to accomplish what God has said. Jesus himself drew upon God's promises and declared that there were always more ways for God to make manifest God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. According to Luke's gospel, when Jesus first declared that he himself had been given a special ministry from God, he used Isaiah's ancient words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So we can see that the promises that come down to us at Christmas are eternal promises. The promise of Christ being with us, in which God says, I see what you're going through. I am coming to be with you. I will lead you back into right relationship with God, with one another, with the earth itself. I am here to make things whole and right and good. The Gospel of Luke begins with a wonderful story in which we are encouraged to have confidence in God's promises. An old priest by the name of Zechariah is in the temple performing his official functions, as he has done so many times before, when an angel appears and announces to Zechariah that he is going to have a son. The angel means for this to be a joyful piece of news, but Zechariah is afraid. And he has a hard time believing that he and his old wife could possibly hope to give birth to a baby. The angel then confers speechlessness on Zechariah. He goes for months without being able to say a word, and this experience only comes to an end when the baby is finally born and Zechariah has the good sense to name the baby John, as the angel had instructed. We must not think that our weaknesses and frailties, our age or condition, are in any way a limitation to God. God can do what God has said. As someone used to observing God at work in the world has written, there is no hopelessness too great, no grief beyond God's healing touch, no one whose faith is beyond repair, no sin that cannot be forgiven. Or, as another person of faith says, what is now damaged, wounded, and broken will be restored and made new by God. As those called to hear and remember God's promises, our job is to listen and to watch and to help whenever we get the chance. Patricia Pierce was going through some tough times. Night after night, she found that she was waking up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, unable to get back to sleep. Everything felt hopeless to her. And then one night, when worry woke her up yet again, something caused her to get up and make herself a cup of warm milk and go out onto the front porch, where she thought she would listen to the silence for a while. But the thing is, the night was not silent. This is how Patricia tells it. When I stepped out the back door, I was amazed to hear the darkness filled with the singing of dozens, maybe hundreds, of birds. I could see no evidence of dawn. The sky appeared totally dark to me. But the birds somehow knew that dawn was on its way, and they were greeting it with song. I don't know exactly what Patricia's trouble was. Maybe she was sick and afraid. Maybe she'd been terribly hurt by someone that she loved. Maybe she had suffered a great loss or was very lonely. Maybe that her plans for the future were uncertain or doors seemed to be closing in her face. Maybe she was grieved over some act of violence or some injustice or some new damage to the planet. Whatever it was, though, the sound of the bird song in the darkness led her to these reflections. Isn't that who we are as Christians? People singing in the dark? People waiting, knowing that dawn will break even when there is no evidence of it. People who, in the darkest month of the year, have the audacity to light candles of joy and peace because we believe the imaginative creator who brought forth fiery galaxies and fragile snowflakes is in some inexplainable way in relationship with us, is connected to us, is for us. God is coming. God is here to redeem and restore us. Eternal God, it's almost too wonderful for us to grasp that you who created the stars and the sea, the desert and the mountains, and all the varieties of bird and fish and beast would be interested in what happens to us. That you have announced your intention to bring good news to the poor, new insight for those who have not been able to see, and release for all those stuck in prisons of despair and hopelessness. In the past, you have made seemingly impossible things happen. And so today, dear God, we begin to believe that you can work miracles with our lives as well. Help us, Lord, to learn to rejoice and give thanks in all circumstances as we come to rely on the hidden power of your Spirit to bring new life to birth. When the waiting seems long, comfort us. Touch us, O God, with your peace. We ask this morning that your message of good news might be passed from us to others by the words and actions of our lives, so that all people might one day find their home in you. We pray that you will keep us faithful to your vision for our future. We open our hearts to receive the Christ child and pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.